This is Jaguars Postgame, presented by Baptist Health System, GEICO, Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, and by EverBank. Stand by for highlights and the best analysis of today's Jaguars game. We go back to the broadcast booth. Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, Brian Sexton along with Tony Boselli. Jeff Loggeman is en route to the Jaguars locker room where we will hear first from head coach Gus Bradley. We'll get you a Baptist Health injury update on Cecil Shorts as well. Jaguars fall in Denver 35-19. That was the expected outcome. If you looked around the National Football League, a lot was made of that 27-point spread that Vegas put on this one. And we don't spend a whole lot of time on it. We never really talk about the spread, but it was a historic number at one point as it was over 28. Cecil Shorts reacted angrily this week in the Jaguars locker room. And right there, I knew the Jaguars would play a much closer game than Las Vegas thought because the team was mad about the way they were perceived.
Well, and they came out and played hard. Listen, the first half, they played harder than Denver. And they had a lot of opportunities. And I'll say this. If they would have taken advantage of those opportunities and not shot themselves in the foot, they would have been leading by at least a touchdown, maybe more at the half.
Yeah.
And when you play one of the best teams in the NFL and you're a struggling team, you can't allow those opportunities to go by the wayside. And they did. They still played very good. It was a 14-12 game, and then Peyton Manning the second half, came out. They were very aggressive. They were very efficient. Jaguars answered early, but it just got to the point. You know, a big play was that fake punt that got him all the way down the field and didn't keep Peyton off the field. And at that point, you know, you kind of got the sense that it was slipping away from the Jaguars.
Let me give you some of the numbers here. Chad Henne finishes the day 27 of 42 for 303 yards, the 10th time in his career that he's crossed the 300-yard mark, compared to 80 for Peyton Manning, by the way. Two interceptions, one at the end, 65.9 is his final passer rating. He had some moments today. You know, somewhere you shook your head, like the one we've talked about all day to Clay Harbor. You know, some the interception, although the one that really was costly when the Jaguars were still within 28-19, the ball was tipped. Your thoughts on Chad Henne? If Gabbard is healthy this week, do they go back to Gabbard, or is Henne the guy until he cannot do it?
I think you got to stay with Henne. Just how this team responded and offensively what they did and how they moved the ball, and he did make some errors. And what concerns me is a lot of those tip balls. There was a number of those. A couple times where there were guys open where he was going, one would have led to a touchdown.
Yeah, Mike Brown was wide open.
That's concerning, but, I mean, Brian, don't you have to look overall at the performance and
I think you do.
You know, Chad Henne, the way this offense is responding, the way the guys have responded and what they've been able to do, you stick with them. Now, we're not in the locker room. We're not in the film room. We're not, you know, privy to that kind of information. And so, ultimately, obviously, it's Gus Bradley's decision, his coaching staff, but just from what we saw on the field today, it wouldn't surprise me if Chad Henne's the quarterback when they go home to EverBank Field and the visiting San Diego Chargers meet them on the field.
All right, Justin Blackmon, his leading receiver, a career-high 14 catches for a career-high 190 yards, average 13.6 per catch. I want to get your thoughts on him as if we haven't already extolled his virtues enough. Mike Brown coming back from a fractured lumbar in his back, 4 for 49. Clay Harbor, 2 for 29. Justin Forsett, 3 for 18. The ground game produced 71 yards. Not great. Maurice Jones-Drew, 21 for 71. He did have a touchdown, average 3.4 per carry. Nothing else remarkable there. The Jaguars offensively racked up 362 yards of offense, 291 through the air, 71 on the ground, 7 penalties, 1 of 3 in the red zone. The numbers really don't matter as much. Give you the Broncos real quick. 407, 295 from their passing game and Peyton Manning, 112 from their ground attack, and, of course, 3 touchdowns in the second half from Knowshon Moreno as they pulled away. Manning, 28 of 42 for 295, 2 touchdowns and an interception, the one that Paul Posluszny used as a pick 6 at the end of the first half to make it a 14-12 ball game. Passer rating 92.9, pedestrian for him. His leading receiver today in terms of yards was Demaryius Thomas, 3 for 78. Wes Welker had 6 catches for 63. Knowshon Moreno had 7 for 62, so a very busy day for him. Eric Decker, 5 for 50. Julius Thomas, 4 for 22, and the first touchdown of the ball game. You know, from a defensive standpoint, it's hard to argue with what the Jaguars did, considering that you had rookie safeties and young guys playing all over the field.
No, you know, listen, they had a good game plan. They said, listen, we're going to play cover two, keep everything in front of us, and force them to drive the field and not make mistakes. Now, Peyton Manning does that a lot. But there was some mistakes. They had an interception for a touchdown. They had another interception. Two other interceptions hit their hands they should have had. They had the fumble snap. Two fumble snaps. I mean, so there was opportunities that the defense forced some errors by keeping everything in front of them and not allowing the big play. You know, one of the things that, real quick before we go down to Jeff in the locker room, 1-for-3 in the red zone. Think about that. When you play Denver, you have to convert there. Yep. That's 14 points.
You bet. Let's go check in with Jeff Loggeman, who's got Gus Bradley in the Jaguars locker room. Jeff.
Hi, thank you, Brian. Gus, a loss against the Denver Broncos. Many people viewed you guys as a huge underdog, but you got to be proud of the way your football team competed today.
Well, you know, that's what we talked about doing, coming here and competing our tails off. And I thought for the most part we did. It's still not the result that we're looking for. We're getting closer, and the team is feeling that, but we're not satisfied.
Early in the game, some missed opportunities. Penalty, a couple of things that happened there that allowed the Broncos more opportunities with Peyton Manning.
You know what? That's so true. I felt like emotionally you could tell that we were ready, but at times we took that emotion to another level. We got the personal foul initially on the offensive side. We had a delay of game where we had to call timeout. We had a miscue. First play of the game was a big play. We had a miscue. And then we settled down some. And we just got to keep teaching our guys how to handle and play with that emotion.
Justin Blackmon was an absolute beast. 14 catches, 190 yards. He's got to be tired.
Oh, I'm sure he is. You know, we were talking about at halftime about he's got to dig even deeper and give more. And, you know, that's what he's demonstrated the last 4 or 5 weeks to me and to our staff is strong competitive nature. And, you know, he fought his tail off.
Strong competitive nature also kind of was in the coaching ranks today, going for the fake punt, going for it on fourth downs. You guys were not letting anything pass.
No, you know what? We just felt like we need to be aggressive against Denver. We weren't going to – I think we wanted to send a message to our team that we were going for it. And we're not going to sit back and take anything, and we were going to be aggressive. And even though we didn't get it on the fake punt, there were some fourth down opportunities we went for it, and I think it's a good message to our team.
Cecil Shorts left the game in the first quarter, first series. Ended up looking like a shoulder injury. Anything to report on Cecil?
Right now it looks like a shoulder sprain. So we'll look more at it tomorrow and get a better prognosis tomorrow from our trainers.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
There's Gus Bradley with Jeff Loggeman first in the Jaguars postgame show. Also there you heard the Baptist Health injury update. Sprain, shoulder, Cecil. We will find out more tomorrow. Presented, by the way, by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go back to the Jaguars locker room. We'll have our bud play of the game, and then we'll pass it off to the folks back at the HenneyAutos.com studios for more Jaguars postgame. You're listening to Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. Jaguars postgame live from Mile High Stadium at the foothills of the Rockies. Jaguars fall 35-19 today. Our broadcast brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. We go back to the Jaguars locker room where Jeff Loggeman has Uche Nwaneri standing by. Jeff.
All right, thank you, Brian. Uche, coming into this week's game against the Broncos, not many people gave you guys a chance, but you guys competed with them back and forth. One heck of a ball game, and I think you guys got better.
Yeah, you know, we felt it today. You know, we did some good things. You know, our offense got into a good rhythm. We were able to get some yards on them. You know, Justin had a heck of a game. You know, Chad was getting the ball out. You know, Maurice was making some big runs, got the touchdown that, you know, drew it close for us. You know, we felt like we did get better today. We just missed a couple of opportunities that could have helped us and could have really made a difference in the game towards the end.
Your room, the offensive line room, has certainly seen change. Eugene's gone, and now all of a sudden Luke Joko has the leg injury. Once again, another week with another lineup, but it might have been y'all's best game, I thought.
Yeah, you know, I think we did a pretty good job, you know, in protection. You know, I think there are also things we could have done better at. You know, but we came into this game with an attitude of, you know, just block out what everybody else is saying about us and what is going to happen in this game. And let's go out there and just compete. Let's go out there and be physical. And let's, you know, take the game to them. And you know, we did some really good things. But like I said, you know, we had a couple of opportunities that, you know, we could have capitalized on better that would have really changed the game.
Is this a game you can build on as a team?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think this is a game we can definitely build on. You know, we're going to watch the film tomorrow and see, you know, what we can do better in certain situations. But I think as a whole, offense and defense, we played as a team. You know, they made plays on defense. Obviously, Puz made a huge play with the pick six, and our defense caused multiple turnovers. You know, it was a really, really our best effort as a group, I think, today.
All right, thank you, Jay.
Thanks.
All right, that's Uche Nwaneri in the Jaguars locker room. Tony, I know you got to watch the tape to give us a more comprehensive analysis of the offensive line, but today Chad Henne was sacked twice, both on the same drive, by the way, in the third quarter. One offensive penalty on the tackles,
Pastor
for offsides. How did the two tackles play?
Well, and one of the sacks was a naked bootleg.
Yeah.
So he was unblocked.
Yep.
And the other sack, the protection broke down late. And Chad Henne was forced to hold the ball. So overall, I thought they did a nice job. And we'll watch the tape and we'll see what, and we'll talk about it tomorrow night on the radio show from 6 to 8. But you look at this group, they fought hard, they were physical. We still need to get better in the run game, though, but protection was nice.
All right, let's go back downstairs where Jeff has Senderek Marks from the Jaguars defensive front. Jeff.
All right, thank you, Brian. Here with Senderek Marks. Senderek, a huge challenge today going against Peyton Manning. You guys created some opportunities for your team today.
You know what? We did. We did exactly what we, you know, our game plan were. We came out and we got some pressure in the first half. We played great coverage. And, you know, first half we had some mistakes, especially with the penalties. You know, we had a third down and 20. We was off the field on third down and we had the penalty and they got a first down to score. So, you know, I think we had a lot of success and I think we did real good as a defense.
Does this boost the confidence of the team overall going against what many people view the best team in the league? And you guys are right there with them until the second half?
Our confidence was never down. You know, we always have faith in what we can do. We see what we do every day. You know, we just continue to get better. You know, so our confidence was never down. You know, this is not a boost. You know, we just know when we see what we can do when we go through the game plan and everybody do their job. So we're just going to continue to build on that.
All right. Thank you, Senderek.
No problem.
All right, Jeff, thanks for your work from the locker room. Hey, one final thought here. We've talked about did they get better. We talked about the quarterback, the offensive line. Obviously, you're not going to get a lot of pressure on Peyton Manning, though they did bounce him around a little bit early. They hit him more than he had been hit all season long. My question to you is the young safeties, Evans and Cyprian. And again, film study is going to give you a better grade that you can give, but just your gut reaction watching the ball game, how do they play?
I thought Cip did a nice job on some man-to-man coverage he had on Julius Thomas. And he got called one for penalty. I thought it was a little ticky-tack. He did pull the jersey, but we see that not called all the time.
All the time.
Another time he ran stride for stride and timed it up perfect. Did exactly what he's coached. See the hands. It's hand-to-hand. He saw his hands extend. He went and broke up the pass. And overall, you know, a couple times they were put in tough situations because that cover two, those patterns down, there's a soft spot. Maybe they were a little late, or maybe it was just a great throw by Peyton Manning. So we'll have to watch the tape. But overall, those are two guys who can run, two guys who are physical. And they're only going to get better. And I like what Gus Bradley's doing with them. Keeping them on the field. Get them playing. Because that's the future of your defensive backfield right there.
Buehler Swiss Watch MVP. Justin Blackman.
Well, I don't know. I was thinking about it. It's a tough, tough choice.
14 catches.
But I think you swayed me. I think you swayed me right there.
190, also a career high. He is a beast. And he'll be handed a Buehler Swiss watch for the second straight week. You can get yours at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, the Cranford Jewelry folks in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Time for the Bud play of the game. Jaguars trailed 14-6. Drive the ball down, and then have a bad snap from Carson Tinker. You never say the snapper's name unless it's a bad snap. And end up turning the ball over. Peyton Manning comes out, starts chunking up the ball, moving it up here and there, and decides on third down, it's time to go for it. You're thinking, gosh, tell you what, if they make this thing and get this touchdown and go 21-6, boy, the game could be out of hand early in the third quarter. It didn't turn out to be that way, thanks to a very athletic play by middle linebacker Paul Posluszny. Manning looks at the Jags' two safeties, barks out the signals, third down and almost seven. Play action, steps, turns, and throws, and this one is intercepted! Posluszny's got it! He's going back the other way! He's at the 40, the 30, the 20! Posluszny's going! 10-5, touchdown! Jaguars! Intercepted, pick six! No flags! And the Jaguars pulled to within two. The extra point was a two-point conversion. It was 14-12 at the half, and people were feeling pretty good. And people who were on TV for a living were shaking their heads, wondering, maybe these guys aren't as bad as we think they are. In the case today, the Jaguars fall to 0-6, but they know they played their best game of the year. And those of us that watch them know that this team is incrementally improving despite the injuries. And you heard Tony say it as we started the postgame show. This is a team, when the Jaguars hit the second half of the season, a lot of these young guys will know some of this routine and perhaps be ready to make some noise. That was our Bud Light Play of the Game, brought to you by Bud Light. The sure sign of a good time. Here we go. All right, lots of people to thank, as always. Scotty Kushner, keeping everything running, dealing with the temperamental executive producer, Joe Fortunato. Love you, Joe. Brett Martineau on the sidelines. Boy, did he get a good day. He's going to have to give back some of the money that we pay him for such a beautiful day here in the mountains. Johnny Dineen making his way back up tough duty to come up here into God's country. And it was a great trip, even though the Jaguars don't come away with the win. So for Jeff Loggeman and Tony Buscelli, we will send it back to another great crew back in the HananiaAutos.com studios. J.P. Shadrick is there. Jake Gray is standing by. Marco Coleman, Linda Fortunato, Ed, the whole gang is waiting for you, folks. So more Jaguars postgame to follow. Final score, final time, 35-19 Broncos. Jaguars come home tonight 0-6. You've been listening to the Jaguars Radio Network.
Inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field in Jacksonville, Jaguars postgame rolls along. Final score in Denver, the Broncos 35, the Jaguars 19. Denver 6-0, Jaguars fall to 0-6. J.P. Shadrick with you, Marco Coleman alongside. But I tell you what, the final outcome, not what you'd like, but this had a totally different feel than any other game this season, Marco, because of the effort and the intensity throughout.
Well, you know, they were going against the Denver Broncos, so you want to, you, every team that sees the Denver Broncos, you're going to get their best game. And you saw the best that the Jaguars can give. You take away some of the miscues, and they present to give themselves an opportunity to really compete so that they have a chance, you know, within the league here going on the rest of the season. Like I said, I think a little bit earlier, I said, they're going to beat the San Diego Chargers. I think they're going to win when they come back home. I'm calling it. You know, what you saw, if they take this game seriously and recognize that they have to play their best game in order to win games, take away some of the miscues, the unsportsmanlike conduct, the muffed snap on the on the field goal, those type of plays, you take those out, and this is a team that's very competitive.
Remember, they dropped a couple of interceptions, too.
Exactly. They had some opportunities, you know, and it was a tale of two halves. You figure the first half, the defensive line got a lot of pressure on Peyton, but then the second half, they didn't get any pressure on him at all. They went in, and obviously the Broncos made some serious adjustments as it pertains to that. But they continue to have the miscues. You figure on the very first drive of the second half, they only had three penalties in the first half. Second half, the first drive, they had three penalties that specific drive. I mean, that specific drive. So, you know, those are the type of things that'll kill a young team with not a lot of experience. They eliminate those things, and they put themselves in a really good position as a football team.
Let's get into the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game. Number one, what does this game, this outcome, show about the Jaguars?
Yeah, I would say that they're just experience and a couple of players away from being a really competitive football team that'll battle for playoff contention. You figure you got the young guys in the secondary. You know, they saw Peyton Manning. You know, he was going to eat them up. You know, but they did a good job. They were always on the right spot. More consistency at the quarterback. You know, the quarterback position is going to be upgraded during the offseason. And then, a dominant defensive lineman. They got pressure in that first half, but in that second half, they were non-existent. And those guys got to do something. Then also the red zone run defense. They need someone in that middle that can completely align it, require a double team on the defensive lineman. They don't have one in that position right now. So I would say those are things that they'll – that'll change things for them in the future.
It showed a lot then. It sounds
they
like.
They did. Like I said, it was a very – you saw a lot about out of the team. You saw the direction that Gus Bradley and Caldwell are taking the team. You know, a good attitude. You know, they came out, they played hard. You know, and they've been doing it progressively each and every game. And they took another good step today.
Number two, best part of the Jaguars team today? Offense, defense, special teams, what had the edge?
The best part, I'm going to say the most impressive deal was Justin Blackmon. He's a beast. You figure, you know, 14 catches, 190 yards against a future Hall of Famer in Champ Bailey the most of the game. You know, he was giving it to Champ. I mean, they can talk about him being old, but this is a wily veteran that knows all the tricks. And Justin Blackmon was able to still get himself in a good position. Didn't drop any balls prior to this season. He was dropping a lot of balls last season. He didn't drop any. You know, as long as the balls were in the right spot, he caught them, made the big plays, broke tackles. He's made a significant difference to this offense since he's gotten on. I would say he's probably been the biggest thing for the whole team.
You got to feed the beast, too. They targeted him 20 times today.
I'm not mad. Why not 30?
Okay, and finally, the biggest improvement for this team today. What part of this team improved the most from last week?
You know, I would just say this continues to make plays. Offensively, they were able to drive the ball. They had some long drives, getting in the end zone. And those are the type of things that they need to do, you know, and they continue to do. But they need to improve on that darn running game. I mean, right now you figure only 71 yards today, 2.6 yards a carry. They came into the game 32nd in the league with 2.6 a carry. If they can get that running game going, they will really change things for themselves offensively. Put them in a better position because now you got some balance. Now you got Justin Blackmon back in the game, and you got to respect him now. You got to. Two games here in a row where he went against a young defense in St. Louis, but now he came against some veterans, and so he can still get it done. You get a little bit of running game going, that offense will be something to deal with.
Those are the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers of the game. The final score in Denver, the Broncos over the Jaguars 35-19. Denver now 6-0. The Jags fall to 0-6. When we come back, we'll listen to the Metro PCS Sexton summary, the highlights from today's game. It's a loss, but Jags got better in some areas today, 35-19. The Broncos over the Jaguars. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, UL Knowledge Services, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
Welcome back into the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Final score in Denver, the Broncos over the Jaguars 35-19. Denver 6-0. The Jags fall to 0-6, but an all-around better field today for this team. There is some breaking news out of the Jaguars locker room. There is word that Chad Henne, his wife has gone into labor, so he's going to leave the team and go. He might not even speak to the media post-game. That's how urgent this is. We'll keep you posted if we hear anything else, but that's the latest from the Jaguars locker room. Blackmon today, 14 catches, 190 yards. The 14 catches tied for the third most in a single game in franchise history. Let's take a look now at the Metro PCS Sexton summary for this game, the scoring summary. Well, it started early. The Jaguars tried to set a tone today on the first drive. They tried to fake a punt. It didn't turn out so well and gave Manning great field position.
All right, here we go. Brian Anger on to punt left to right. And it's a fake. And Will Taufo'o is going to give it up at about the 27-yard line.
He ran right up through the middle. So that gave a short field to Peyton Manning on the first drive. It took him six plays to go 37 yards. He found his tight end, Thomas, for a touchdown.
Manning third and goal from the three. Handle, he keeps it. Now he turns and he throws, and this one's a touchdown. He got buried back at about the 12-yard line, but he found his tight end for the touchdown.
7-0 Broncos at that point. Jags went six plays, punted away. There was the next possession for Denver, a third down penalty on Andre Branch on that unsportsmanlike conduct, gave him a first down. The drive ended up 12 plays, 95 yards, ended with Manning to a guy named Wes Welker, a 20-yard touchdown.
Manning looking for more. Takes the snap, quickly dumps, now turns and throws, and he's got a Wes Welker at the 10-5, touchdown. What a great play.
That's a great play designed by Adam Gase, the offensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos.
And you thought at that point, 14-0, here we go. Denver was well on their way. That was the end of the first quarter score. The Jaguars, though, would, on the next drive, go 10 plays, 48 yards. Scobie hits one from 50.
Scobie takes a breath. There's the snap, the placement, the kick up on the way. It's got the distance, and Scobie gets it.
That was a 14-3 score at that point. Three and out for Denver on the next drive. Three and out for the Jags. Manning would fumble the ball away on the ensuing drive and give the Jaguars a chance for another Scobie field goal, 30-yard field goal. The Jags get to within 14-6.
I think he's connected on 25 in a row on the road. This one is up on the way, and it is good.
Boy, that's wow, disappointing. What a missed opportunity.
Yep, and they had it first and goal at the 4. Couldn't score. Had to settle for the field goal, 14-6. So the Broncos had the ball with less than 2 minutes to play in the first half, and Peyton Manning was trying to throw the ball deep down the field. Instead, he throws it to Paul Posluszny, who brings it back 59 yards.
Manning looks at the Jags, two safeties, barks out the signals, third down and almost seven. Play action, steps, turns, and throws, and this one is intercepted! Puslusny's got it! He's going back the other way! He's at the 40, the 30, the 20! Puslusny's going! 10-5, touchdown! Jaguars! Intercepted, pick six! No flags!
First career touchdown for Paul Puslusny, his 11th career interception. The Jaguars went for two, could not make it. It was 14-12. That actually came off the bad snap on the field goal that gave the Broncos the ball, and then the Puslusny pick six. So the halftime score, 14-12. Denver got the ball to begin the second half. Eight plays, 80 yards, and it was the start of the No Sean Moreno show.
Here's first and goal from the 1 yard line. Manning hands it off to Moreno, and he walks into the end zone for the touchdown. So now it's 20-12.
And the extra point made it 21-12. Jaguars answered right back, though. They go nine plays, 80 yards. Maurice Jones-Drew from 5 yards out.
With 7:50 left to play in the third. Takes the snap, hands it to Mojo. Mojo with a cutback. Scott Room, he's going to the end zone. Touchdown. Jacksonville answers.
It was 21-19 at that point, but then Denver right back down the field. Another eight-play, 80-yard drive capped off by an 8-yard run from Moreno.
Manning looking at Welker. Takes the snap. Hands it off, and there is room for Moreno, who powers his way to the end zone. Touchdown, Denver.
28-19, and then into the fourth quarter with 9:09 to play. Moreno really seals this game with his third touchdown of the second half, this from 3 yards out for Denver.
Here's the snap, and here's the handoff to Moreno looking for the end zone. He's got it. Third touchdown of the second half for No Sean Moreno. And it's 34-19.
That was off a Henny interception. The Jaguars had a turnover on downs, and that would be the ball game. 35-19, the final score. Denver now 6-0. Jaguars are 0-6. That was the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. When we come back, Marco Coleman back with us. We'll break down this ball game a little bit more. Tough one today. Jaguars played a little bit better, though. 35-19, Denver over Jacksonville. More Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Geico. Putting a winning lineup together is tough. Getting a quote from Geico is not. Visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO or contact your local Geico office today. Final score in Denver. The final count at Sports Authority Field at Mile High is 35-19. The Broncos are 6-0. The Jaguars are 0-6. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman in the HannityAutos.com studio. I think it's pretty obvious who the offensive player of the game is, Marco.
All right? Day. Blackman. That's what we probably need to start calling him, All Day Justin Blackman, because 14 receptions, 190 yards, close to the, you know, franchise record as far as receptions for the day. And he has completely sparked the offense. They've been, you know, the past two games, they've been a different offense. They've been able to get down the field, make big plays. You figure going into last week's game, they were dead last in yards per play. And now all of a sudden last week they were right at about 5 yards per play. This week over 5 yards per play. That puts you at the top of the league. That puts you right with the Denver Broncos now. So now all of a sudden this offense has big play potential, and that's what you got to have as an offense in order to get down the field. There's some big plays. And he presents that, gives it opportunity. Yards after the catch, I think at one point at 14 minutes or 11 minutes into the fourth quarter, he had 80 yards. After the catch, and the Broncos totally maybe had about 90 as a team.
Sure.
I mean, he's an outstanding player. Hopefully he can just stay healthy this year and continue to improve and get that experience for him. He figures this is the second season. So it's still some, you know, you figure the upside. We haven't seen the best of Justin Blackman as of yet.
Right. Defensively, a few candidates for defensive player of the game. They had some pressure on Manning early in this game. Of course, the interception from Puslusny, some good play on the back end today. Who you pick out?
Well, you got to say Puslusny. I mean, that was huge. I mean, a great play, getting that interception. Peyton Manning, it was a mistake for him. I don't think the ball would have gotten there anywhere. I think it was two or three guys that were around that receiver he was trying to throw. But to be in that spot, to make the catch, get up high, make the catch, and then outrun the rest of that offense to get into the end zone, huge play for the captain of the defense, changed the game, kept the team in a position to actually, you know, get him, you know, keep him in the game, you know. So, you know, I have to say Puslusny, you know, defensively, because he's the Colt, you know, he's the head of that defense, and he made the big play to keep him in it.
There's no such thing, as Tony Boselli said on the broadcast, there's no such thing as a moral victory in the National Football League. The team is 0-6. That's a fact.
Right.
But they have to feel a little better about themselves after today. Is that accurate?
Well, you know, the reality with the Jaguars is this is a team that is growing. You figure the president of the team's only been here for just over a year. The general manager hasn't been a year for him. The head coach hasn't been a year. So this is like a remodel. And you know how it is when you remodel something. You got to tear it down. It's got to look ugly before you can get it looking good. So you figure a game like this where you had the passing game, 291 yards versus a Peyton Manning offense at 295, you got to feel good about that. I mean, even with a quarterback that was inconsistent, didn't make all the throws that he probably needed to, left some out there. You know, so, yes, I mean, you figure the Broncos are thinking about Super Bowl. The Jaguars are thinking about improving, and I think they did today. I mean, I think both teams accomplished what their end goals are, to continue to stay undefeated and to continue to improve as a team. The Jaguars did that, I think, today.
We'll take a timeout on Jaguars postgame, come back with a breakdown of the stats from this game. 35-19, the Broncos over the Jaguars. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Gates. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gates. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Final score 35-19. Broncos over the Jags. JP Shadrick with Marco Coleman in the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Okay, Marco, let's go through some of the stats from this game. We'll start with the team statistics. The Jaguars net yardage today, 362 yards. Broncos had 407. At halftime, they had the Jags were outgaining the Broncos.
Like I said, it was a tell of two halves.
That's right.
You know, you figure the defense, they hurt themselves really in that first half with the two. He had the pass interference, big play that got him moving really pretty quickly. Then gave him an extra set of downs with the other pass, with the unsportsmanlike deal penalty. So, you know, you take those things away, they may have, it may not have gotten out of hand as quickly. You know, because they were getting them out off the field. And you can tell this wasn't a really good day for Peyton Manning either.
Penalties today, 7 penalties, 62 yards for the Jags. Broncos had 4 for 31. Now let's go individually. Let's start with the passing for Chad Henne. It is his 10th career 300-yard passing game, 27 of 42 passing, 303 yards, sacked twice for 12 yards, no touchdowns, two picks, a rating of 65.9. You know, mixed bag today, and there were some times where he wasn't so accurate, just a little inconsistent. He moved the ball down the field a couple of times.
Just get a ball to Justin Blackmon. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take. But he was, you know, good throws, bad throws. You know, it was the consistency at the quarterback position. And, you know, obviously we all know that that's going to be something that's going to be addressed during the offseason to, you know, improve that position. So you figure you can get a rookie to throw a good ball. Bad ball. Henne, he's in his, sixth season now?
Yep.
You can't have that from a six-year veteran. You got to be a lot more consistent. And he wasn't today. But, you know, he did enough to at least move the ball.
Now, here's a question for you. Next week, against San Diego, who's the starting quarterback for the Jaguars?
Go ahead and go with Henne. I don't think that, you know, I believe I heard Gus Bradley say that Blaine was still the starting quarterback. But Henne did enough, and the team is moving in a good direction right now to not rock the boat. I think the thing is to try to get a win, you know, right now. I think as good as they played now the team deserves to get a win. And I know it's a guy that calls later on the day, in the evening, all the time that was screaming, Chad Henne, Chad Henne, Chad Henne. And, you know, I'm going completely against what I said before as far as what gives the best chance to win. But for next weekend, I think Chad Henne does. I think he's got a good feel of what's going on right now. The offense has been moving pretty well with him. You go ahead and keep him going. Keep the momentum going. I think you'll disrupt the momentum at this point by throwing someone else in there.
Receiving statistics, of course, Justin Blackmon targeted 20 times today, 14 receptions. That's tied for the third most in a single game in franchise history. 190 yards receiving. That's 13.6 per reception, long of 23 yards. Keenan McCardell had 16 receptions in a game in 1996. That's the franchise record. Jimmy Smith had 15 in a game in 2000 at Baltimore. And then Smith again, the season before that, the final game of the year against Cincinnati, had 14. And today, Justin Blackmon had 14. And that was without Cecil Shorts, the third on the field, too.
Well, you know,
Justin Blackmon is as advertised. And if you think about the history of the Jaguars and who he may resemble, it's more like Mr. Jimmy Smith. You know, you figure being a physical presence, you know, these guys tried to get jams on him, couldn't stop him. Play off, he can run past you. You know, try to battle for the ball, he takes the ball. Catch the ball, make a guy miss, and keep it going yards after the catch. He does all those things. And like I said, you haven't seen that really since Jimmy Smith here with the Jaguars. And with Justin Black, the way he's playing, if he can continue to play this way, even with losing those first four games of the season, he's playing like a Pro Bowl player right now in these first two games. If he can stay consistent, you know, he had to do that a couple more games, sure, of course. But now he's playing at a high level right now.
Mike Brown today returned after the back injury. Four receptions, 49 yards, four set, 3 for 18. Harbor, 2 for 29. He's becoming a little bit of a weapon. Jones-Drew, 2 for 3. Sanders had 1 for 9. And Tofoo had 1 for 5. On the ground today, Maurice Jones-Drew, 21 carries, 71 yards, a long of 28 later in the game. And he scored his 78th career touchdown, 65th on the ground today. Slow starting for this rushing attack. Not a lot outside of Jones-Drew, but another 70-plus yard effort for him today.
You know, but, you know, the yards per carry, you look at it, 2.7. Yep. You know, he came into the game dead last at 2.6. They've got to find some way to get the rushing game going for teams to respect it. Is this going to help the offense? You know, now you open up things even more for Justin Blackmon. I believe that once you get Mercedes Lewis back, because he's one of the better blocking tight ends in the league, that may change some things. You know, Tofoo has gotten better as we've gone through the season as blocking as a fullback. You see that he had some really nice blocks here this game. Some kind of way they've got to get that running game going. You know, doing some things schematically, maybe even going to some, I don't think we've even seen a reverse to Denard Robinson or, you know, just some things more creative as opposed to just your straight power running deal, you know, something more creative. I mean, we'll leave that up to Jed to kind of get to figure that out. But the running game has got to get going, and that's going to help. That's going to do anything but help the rest of the offense.
Speaking of Denard Robinson, he did have a carry today, ran it through the middle 2 yards to 401.
But is that the place you want to send Denard Robinson? I mean, this guy's, probably the most, electrifying college player in space. You figure he caught the ball in the shotgun at quarterback, and now all of a sudden he's run with guys in space. It's not a, runoff tackle type of guy. You know what I mean? I just don't think that fits his skill set. And they're still, I believe, trying to figure that out, how to get him. But he's got to also be accountable when he gets his opportunity. So, like I said, if they put some stuff together, San Diego's, Monday night game. They got to come all the way back to the East Coast. Hopefully it's about 90 degrees.
Okay. We'll
get them.
We'll get to that coming up. Let's hold your prediction.
I'm ready for the Chargers.
Of course, Posluszny had the interception return for a touchdown, 59 yards, his first career touchdown. Anger, 3 punts today. Solid day for the Jags offense. Kept moving the ball down the field but just fell short today to the Denver Broncos. Final score today, 35-19, Denver over Jacksonville. We'll come back with a look at the National Football League scoreboard. And we'll recap and cap this Jaguars postgame off right after that. It's a 35-19 final. Denver, a winner. They're 6-0. The Jags fall to 0-6. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Geico. Geico has proudly supported the military for over 75 years. See how much Geico's military discounts could save you. Go to geico.com, call 1-800-MILITARY, or contact your local Geico agent today. Final score in Denver, the Broncos over the Jaguars, 35-19. Let's look around the National Football League scoreboard. Most games are final. One game, of course, coming up tonight. The big final today, the 49ers get another win, 32-20 over the Cardinals. That was at Candlestick. Davis had a big day for the 49ers. 10 fourth-quarter points sealed it for San Fran. Last second touchdown for the Patriots, and they stunned the Saints today, 30-27. A touchdown pass for Brady with 5 seconds to play, 30-27. Patriots are 5-1. Saints are now 5-1. The Seahawks scored 13 second-half points and outlast the Titans today, 20-13, a final score in Seattle. Seahawks are 5-1. They rebound from the loss last week. Rams beat the Texans 38-13. And, the Texans are skidding now. They're 2-4. Packers beat the Ravens 19-17, the Pack 3-2. Eagles over the Buccaneers, who fall to 0-5. Eagles 3-3, a 31-20 win over the Bucs. Steelers get their first win today. They're 1-4, a 19-6 win in New York against the Jets. Panthers over the Vikings, 35-10 in Minneapolis. Vikings are 1-4. Newton had a big day for Carolina. The Chiefs are still undefeated. They're 6-0, and that'll set up a great matchup coming up shortly against the Broncos. Chiefs beat the Raiders 24-7. Lions over the Browns, 31-17. Stafford had a big second-half rally. They scored 24 second-half points. Trailed 17-7 at halftime, but it was all Lions in the second half. Final in overtime, Bengals beat the Bills in Buffalo, 27-24. A Nugent field goal in overtime sealed it. And one game tonight, Redskins-Cowboys. That's the NBC game in Dallas. Again, the final score in Denver. The Broncos over the Jaguars, 35-19. When we come back, final segment of Jaguars postgame. Marco Coleman joins us for the final time for some final analysis of this one and a prediction for next week for the San Diego Chargers coming to town. More after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. This portion of Jaguars postgame brought to you by PRI Productions. Final score from Denver today. The Broncos over the Jaguars 35-19. Jaguars postgame rolls along. Final segment. JP Shadrick with Marco Coleman. You know, Marco, we failed to mention earlier that the Jags defense was a little better today in parts, but boy, when the Broncos got into the red zone, they pounded the ball in. Peyton Manning changed a couple of those calls to get it to Knowshon Moreno, and a Jags defense that even Peyton Manning said this week was good in the red zone. Well, the Broncos scored three different times.
Yeah, three scores, you know, on the rush in the red zone. That's something that's got, that they have to take care of. And you figure it was more so I think up front, you know, they just don't have a defensive lineman that requires a double team that's dominant, especially against the rush. When you get down that area, when you know, especially defensively, they got enough veterans on the defensive line and in that linebacker position to know that the type of coverage that was being called, that it presents more of an opportunity to run. So now you got to be a lot more stout because you only had pretty much seven guys, six even, to actually defend the run. So now you got to have some stout cats. You got to have guys that can take old, that can handle more than one gap. And these guys just weren't able to do that, especially at that, you know, 10 yards in every time they got into the red zone. What is it? Knowshon Moreno ran for three touchdowns right there by like 6-7 yards each time. So it wasn't, I mean, they did good against the rush during the course of the game, 112 yards, but it, you know, it's a little deceiving as far as the way that they were able to run the ball. But it's when they got in the red zone, they struggled.
Marco, this is setting up to be a pretty solid week for the Jaguars. The San Diego Chargers play Monday night in San Diego against the Indianapolis Colts and then travel all the way across the country for a 1 o'clock kickoff Sunday here at Everbank Field. And you're calling it already, aren't
you? I'm calling it. I'm calling a victory against the San Diego Chargers. I think with the short week, the way the team feels, a lot of confidence coming here at home. I'm going to have to talk to some folks about the forecast and see if it's going to be about 90 degrees and humid. And it just presents an opportunity. They got to feel good about themselves. But, you know, not to take anything away, the San Diego Chargers are going to present still a tough challenge. Phillip Rivers is an outstanding quarterback. They got some playmakers offensively. They can get some things done defensively also. It's not going to be a cakewalk at all. But the way, if they can play the way that they played against the Denver Broncos, you know, putting up 362 yards, 290 yards in the pass, get a little more on the rush. You got to do better on the rush. Get those same turnovers that they were able to get, the big pick six and things of that nature, recovering a couple fumbles. You know, I like the chances of the Jaguars against the San Diego Chargers, another one of my former teams, you know. But, you know, I mean, you know, if I think Mark Brunell is going to be announced and thrown into the Pride, I believe. I think it's this week. Is it this week or the week after? This later in the season? Yeah, I'm a little premature with
that. All right, we'll take that game too.
Yeah, that one too. But I think that they'll – I like the chances of the Jaguars going to – you know, the way that they played, if they can continue to improve like they have over the past 6 weeks, take those same steps forward. Don't go backwards. Not a bunch of penalties. Eliminate the penalties, the unsportsmanlike conduct. Let's hope Babin stays on sides. Those type of things, all of a sudden, I like the way the Jaguars look going against the San Diego Chargers.
We'll see you next week then, right here.
My man, Jay Pizzle.
It's a 1 o'clock kickoff next week. The San Diego Chargers in town. We're on air at high noon on the Jaguars Radio Network with Jaguars pregame. The Senior VP of Communications for the Jags is Dan Edwards. Executive Producer of Jaguars Radio, Mike Dormer. Manager of Jags Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tim B., Linda Fortunato, and Ed Rocco are the producers. The anchor of Jaguars pregame is Jeremy Ratliff, and Jay Gray is the Jaguars pregame reporter. For Marco Coleman, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Buscelli, Brian Sexton, this is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight. Once again, the final score from Denver. Broncos 35, Jaguars 19 on the Jaguars Radio Network.